listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Friday. What a day. We're going over every NFL game that happens between now and Sunday. And the biggest college football games live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. Joined by the pros who know, Full House, Steve Fezzik, NFL expert, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You cannot have pros without Joes. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, and we start on a Friday on Straight Outta Vegas with, of course, a look back at the opener to Week 6 in the NFL. That was the Patriots all over the New York Giants, 35-14 on Thursday night at Foxborough. New England is now 6-0 to start the season.
And they get the cover. And over, though. Over, I think, a surprise, right?
Hurt my feelings.
Yes. Here's what I would say. Whenever you have an event that you have a strong handicap on. So yesterday on the show, everyone that listened got to hear Thursday night big favorites. Whoa, they do exceptionally well. So undefeated straight up. Undefeated. And excellent against the spread. And we'll pull up those exact numbers as we're talking. Oh, there they are. 0-22 now for the dog. 22-0 for the big favorites. And we define that simply as more than 10 points. And then against the spread, 17-4-1. 17-4-1. That is the big favorite on a Thursday night game. What's the logic? I think it's crystal clear and extremely valid. The logic of why the favorites do well, the big favorites, you're a big favorite because you have a big talent advantage, a natural talent advantage. And when you cut the prep time in half, it's not like, oh, we'll cut the creative things we're going to do in half. No, no, no. The creative things go to pretty much zero. You're just trying to work hard to get the basics done. Basics of game planning. So, though, I mean, being in division, not in division, that's important, and that's something to consider. I guess another way to think about it is the least oft or the less the teams play, the tougher it is to prepare because you're not familiar. Would you agree with that, Fez?
Absolutely. Familiarity lends itself to being ready faster.
All right. Well, the Giants, I mean, there's a sense that they're familiar with each other, right? Two Super Bowls and obviously that amazing game 16 of the undefeated season. Don't forget that one. What a game. Remember that was on the NFL Network, but it was such a big game. Mm-hmm. I think they put it on CBS. I can't remember exactly. I think it was. Now that's a game to end the season, but they only play every 4 years, NFC, AFC, every 4 years, unless there's a special, you know, meeting in the Super Bowl, I guess, effectively. So these teams aren't all that familiar with each other, which was another disadvantage if you wanted to do a bunch of creative game planning. So what's left? How good are these players? And the Patriots are better than the Giants by a wide margin. So as much as we're going to be impressed with the Patriots, let's kind of say they had an advantage. Now, Fez, let's start with the Pats. Number one takeaway.
Tom Brady concerns, RJ. Second straight game that Brady really has not played well. Actually, third straight game if you go back to Buffalo, and his QBR has been below 50 all three games. A little bit above 50 is average in the NFL.
Okay, so you're saying his average across the season.
And now across the season, Brady's at 55, but he had three really good games. Now he's had three subpar games in a row.
Oh, okay. So I understand what you meant when you said you were trying to create some context of 50 is the average across the NFL.
Right.
Okay. So QBR was indexed with the intention of 50 out of 100 is average. Now, as Fez mentioned, and since he mentioned it, we got to say it quickly, because they haven't re-indexed it, passing has gotten more efficient in these years, so the average passer or QBR is a little above 50. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Is it age? Is it injury? Is it the opponents he played? If you had to guess right now, one, at the end of the year, come the Super Bowl, assuming Brady's in it or not, he'd have to be in it to win it. Come the Super Bowl, where is Brady going to be 1-32? What would your guess be? Because the reason I say at the end of the year, older quarterbacks tend to drop off. They get beat, you know, they get an injury here, an injury there. And just generally, if you look at the last four games of the regular season versus the first four of quarterbacks over 38, you're going to see a trend, they drop off. Where's Brady at end of the year?
10th.
10th. So that doesn't stop you from feeling like the Patriots can make the Super Bowl or can win the Super Bowl.
Oh, not at all.
So you're just saying the thing to be warned of is if you're thinking Brady's clearly the best quarterback in the NFL, count the rings. You're saying now you're thinking he's going to be about right at the cusp of the edge of the top third of the quarterback.
Exactly right. And what I'm most worried about is the pocket awareness, RJ. What do we know about Tom Brady? He feels the pressure. He makes great decisions. He's been sacked 7 times the last two games by Washington and the New York Giants, and he gave up a very uncharacteristic fumble 6 touchdown. Brady seemingly never does that.
Well, I think that to some degree, there are going to be age issues. When someone's not a great athlete for the sport they're playing, Larry Bird, let's say, as an example, people feel like, he's slow anyway. But actually, usually, think about, what was that dude's name? Was it Morrison, the dude that was...
From Gonzaga?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So people thought, this is a Bird, you know, white player, which is, you know, those comparisons tend to happen a lot, it seems, in the media. But I could see it, you know, fundamentals, had the high shot for whatever reason, but it strikes me that he just was a quarter second too slow here, 10th of a second too slow there, and we don't realize that Larry Bird, though not fast, wasn't. He was able to do what he needed to do. And think about Bird. When Bird hurt his back, his drop-off was steep, and he was still playing with a back brace, but he was a little slower. So to me, I wouldn't be surprised if as Brady ages here, and every day he's getting older, no matter how much kale you drink, I think you're going to start seeing him look like the guy that gets drafted in the fourth round that has the arm and the brains, but maybe not the athleticism of playing the NFL. And obviously, he won't show that fully. It'll just be flashes of a guy that maybe couldn't have made it if Brady's physical skills were just a little bit less.
I agree. The one interesting thing about this game...
He didn't say any of it, but he agrees.
I'm convinced Brady is 100% healthy right now, though, and here's why, RJ. End of the game, Pats are up 14, and they... Quarterback sneak, back-to-back plays to punch in another touchdown with Brady.
Or it could be Belichick trying to trick people like you to think that he's healthy. That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. Jonas, real quick, as the eye of the fan, how's Brady look to you?
He doesn't look like he's looked in his prime years, obviously, but I'll take this Brady and that defense. If they can cause as many turnovers as they're causing, if they can score on special teams, you're basically watching the Bears of last year instead of Mitch Trubisky, Tom Brady at quarterback, and I'll take that any day.
Yeah, so 5 non-offensive touchdowns, 5 for the Patriots. In the rest of the NFL, every other team, 23 for the 31 teams. Let me do the math there. That's less than 1 per team. and the Patriots have five. Now, some of it's luck. I was on Boston Radio on the Fox affiliate today, and they're like, no, it's the physical skill. And it's a good show. I like these guys. The physical skill. We got the impact player. It's like, really, the Patriots on special teams are like that superior to the rest of the league? Feels like it's a little bit of luck and a little bit of Belichick. But five, that's a big number, especially when the rest of the league is 23. Counting the Giants getting one yesterday. Okay. I guess my last thought is about the defense. Because you could look at the defense right now and say this is an all-time defense. Advanced metrics for this point of the season. All-time defense for the Pats. I think you got to look at strength of schedule. And coming into this game, the Patriots had, based on Football Outsiders, the easiest schedule up to this point. Playing the Giants didn't help that, right? Or I guess it continued that trend. Looking forward, they had the 28th hardest schedule, meaning forget everything it's past, only the games coming up. So the easiest schedule for the first six and, you know, the fourth, fifth easiest schedule moving forward, I think whatever record they have, we got to keep our eye on that. But this early in the year, and the Cowboys are a great example of this, you got to think about, too, how good was the offense on the teams played? How good was the defense? And if we rattle off the offenses, even a team like the Bills, net-net, above-average team, but they're not an above-average offense.
No.
So Pittsburgh with Big Ben in whatever state he was in, and meaning that, you know, did his arm just happen to, you know, was it a partial tear? I don't know. He didn't look very good in that first game. I think we can agree to that. So that's not impressive. They played Miami. Okay, enough said. Jets. Now the Giants. Who are we missing?
Washington.
Washington. And I think we're missing one.
Bills.
Buffalo.
Bill.
Oh, there is the Bills. I mean, really, we could go look at the analytics, but if I said none of those teams are in the top 20 of offense, none of us would be surprised, right?
No.
So as much as the Pats have had an easy schedule, they've had an even easier time against the opposing offenses. And one of the themes of handicapping this week and next week is going to be, well, which team's offense looks better than you think, defense looks better than you think, because the Dallas, again, is a perfect example. They played some really weak Ds, and the offense looked mighty good. And now, not so weak Ds, not so good. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Last thing, Fez, Daniel Jones. A lot of talk after the draft. Oh, my gosh, reach. Then, against Tampa, amazing comeback. Oh, he's here, finally. We've been waiting. And now we've got the analytics guys coming back out, starting to smart mouth. Hey, when are we going to get an apology for the apology we had to give? What do you think?
He has played harder and harder opponents in the first four games, and he's gotten much worse each consecutive game, and makes you wonder if the film is starting to tell a story about him.
Okay, but it seems like we're saying two different things. Is it the strength of the defenses he's opposing, or is it they're getting film on?
I think it's a combination.
Okay, and you just blended them.
Yes.
What makes you think it's the film? Because that sounds like a cliche, right? Mm. And I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that we can say, I think it's fair to say the following. In cases like this, where a guy starts fast, a lot of the time, I don't know, 30, 40%, however he does early is the best he'll ever do. Because he is limited in a way that the defenses can stop a certain thing or two he does well, and then he's done. I'm not saying that that's Daniel Jones. I'm saying I don't think I understand if it is. I don't think you do either. I think it's fair to say oftentimes that is what will be the cause of a slowdown after a fast start. But some of it is his running, too. His passing stats were never good. He just had some long runs. And let's be candid, if the Bucks make a 35-yard field goal, it's a different narrative all along.
It's a great point, 1-3.
So we'll go to Jonas. Last thing, What do you think? What do you see with Daniel Jones?
Yeah, turning the ball over way too much. It's one thing to not play well as a rookie quarterback, but the turnovers are constant. He turned the ball over in a short relief duty in week one for the Giants. He's turned it over, I think, every single game since then. That's the most problematic thing.
Well, you know, it's funny. Brad kind of showed his ruthlessness when he was cheering injuries earlier in the week. He actually... That Allen, the quarterback for Carolina, he's named him Flipper because he's got these little hands and he's been fumbling like crazy. And he calls
true.
Him Flipper.
That's
true. I don't think it's right. When we come back, we always, after Thursday night football, the first thing we do on Friday after is an early best bet from Steve Fezzik early in the show. Then the rest of the best bets are at the end. This is like the best supporting actress at the Oscars. You got to tune in early.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
So remember, dedicated listeners know Brad and I had a crossfire on this game. And the line's come down, it seems.
Yeah, it has.
So Vegas and me on one side,
yeah.
Like the Billy Walters types, the guys with not just a mansion, but they live up in the Alps or whatever, and then you are on the other.
Yeah.
All right. Fez, what's your take on the game?
You know, the 49ers' injuries are really going to hurt them, I think, in this game.
Oh, is this the injury that Brad was cheering?
Yes. When Jusic, the fullback for the 49ers, is out for the game. And in fact, the top three tackles for the 49ers are out as well. And think about this, RJ. The 49ers run the ball more than any team.
So just to be clear, is it the top three tackles?
Yeah, the two starters and the top backup are all out.
Okay. And it's not the top four. Because I heard the top four in a discussion. All right, top three. Go ahead.
And the 49ers run the ball more than any team in the NFL. They run the ball 57% of the time. So think about it. What team is going to miss their fullback and their tackles the most? A running team. Big disadvantage, 49ers.
Except who's supposed to step up at that point?
I love Jimmy G.
So, I mean, if anything, you should be all over the Niners.
I should be because you know I love Jimmy G. But if anything, you could argue that the 4-0 49ers are doing it with the rest of the team and not necessarily with Jimmy G this year.
Or he hasn't had to play well yet. He's just waiting for the drama. Now, I'll tell you this. Football Outsiders, Analytics, Advanced, has San Francisco as the best team in the NFL. And one of the five or six best teams of the last 30 years. So at this point of the season. So the idea that the Rams that have a home field advantage less than typical, less than average, agreed?
Agreed.
That they were laying 3.5, you know, that's when I bet it. That's a situation that just doesn't make sense to me. I agree with you. One of the types of injuries that really have an impact greater than the market adjustment is multiple linemen being out. So I hear you. And I also think the Rams are ultra motivated because if they lose, they're 3-3, right? And in that division, that's going to be tough. Now, last thing I'll say about this game, Gurley, all of a sudden he's doubtful. Now, when did the injury happen? Did we hear any report?
No,
coincidentally. So here's the real Zen question of the day. Is if Gurley is hurt so bad, end of last year, playoffs, Super Bowl, that his career apparently looks like it may never get back on its that track of a great running back. But he wasn't on any injury report. Now he's on an injury report. What does it mean? I don't know.
I don't know either, and I live out here. You tell me. All right, guys, let's get to the other games in the NFL, and we start with the one in London, a 9:30 a.m. Eastern time kickoff in London between the Panthers and the Bucks. Carolina is a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, we're going to go through these games fast, and we're going to do this democratic style. If anyone's got something they like, jump in. Fez, you got anything on this one?
Just that the Tampa Bay O-line has cluster injuries on the right side of it. That's why I believe the money's been coming in on Carolina.
And, Brad, you were talking about Flipper.
Yeah, Kyle Allen, 6 fumbles, 3 games so far. Them small hands, more like a certain aquatic animal.
Ooh.
The Seahawks are at the Browns right now, and Seattle is a 1.5-point favorite.
I think there's a ton of value on the Browns here, and this is the quick way to think about it, is the idea that the Browns last week, most of the week, all the way up till pretty much game day, they were 3.5-point dogs against San Fran. Home field, 3, saying half a point, the Browns were less than San Fran. Now they lose that game, they look horrible. This line is saying they're like 4.5 or 5 points worse than Seattle. My question to you, to everybody, how does Seattle and San Fran rate? I've asked that question about 20 people, about half say Seattle, half say San Fran. That tells me it's even. So somehow there's been like a 4-point adjustment for the Browns, way too much.
The Chiefs are 4-point favorites hosting the Houston Texans.
This one's simple. Mahomes, the injuries, and there's a downgrade around it, obviously. And what I thought about yesterday, we were doing another piece of sound. Fez, you estimated the downgrade about 3 points with Mahomes specifically being banged up.
Yes.
How many players in the NFL, other than quarterbacks, are worth 3 points?
None.
How many are worth 1.5?
3.
All right. So there's 3 players worth half, non-quarterbacks, worth half as much as Mahomes being banged up. That's how valuable quarterbacks are.
The Jaguars are 1.5-point favorites hosting the Saints.
Ooh, this is one where there's the wise guys and then there's common sense. Because the wise guys are saying Jacksonville. And I saw the lineup to 2 at certain points. That means, what's Jacksonville's home field?
2 points.
So Jacksonville and the Saints are even teams. Ugh, I can't lie. I had Jacksonville in a couple of contests or different things. I'm not feeling so good about it.
Yeah, and you shouldn't, RJ. Jacksonville against the NFC, 5-21 against the spread.
So you're saying it's bad coaching?
Yes.
The Redskins are without Jay Gruden permanently, but they are at the Dolphins and a 3.5-point favorite.
Have you ever heard of Billy Martin?
Yeah.
People come back, Jonas.
Okay, well, that's fair.
I mean, if somehow you got fired tomorrow because I made a call, it doesn't mean you couldn't be back in a couple years.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. It's always something to think about.
Yeah, I mean, let's keep it in mind. You know, to me, this is all about how do the Redskins react? Because if they react like, okay, the scapegoat's gone, we better start winning, or now our, you know, contracts are going to suffer. And I'm not talking about just the coaches. I'm talking about everybody, players, everybody. On the other hand, whoever loses this game has the inside track to the number one pick. Are both teams going to be fully motivated? Fez, what do you think?
Yeah, that's the big question.
I know. That's
I learned
I said
this from you, RJ.
Question.
NFL teams typically stay motivated. Hard to believe either team is tanking yet.
I tell you this, though. The one team of the two that I could believe it, the Dolphins, because that was their mindset, it would seem, coming in the year. Washington, this has been unexpected how bad they are.
The Falcons are 2.5-point favorites at the Cardinals.
Ooh. Is this about as bad of a team, Atlanta, favored on the road, as you ever, well, I guess Washington. But I mean, really, the idea that Atlanta's favored, is this the worst defense in the NFL?
You know, it sure looks like it. And there was some quit in Atlanta last week when they let Houston hang 50 on them, 2 late scores.
Probably
in
the worst
quarter.
Performance on defense this season. And remember, the defense doing so poorly is albatross for Coach Quinn. Why? He pretty much fired all of the key coaches, took over the defense himself. Who's he got to blame? Nobody. Bye-bye, I'm guessing.
Cowboys at the Jets. Dallas, a 7-point favorite.
Colin Cowherd on the yet-to-release. And by the way, we got his pick number 6 coming up in a few minutes. World premiere. He said something on the podcast today. It's out tomorrow. I put it on my Twitter, at RJ in Vegas. It was so good. He said, the playbook was probably not fully open for the Jets, meaning a third-string quarterback, there's certain wrinkles, first-year coach and Gase, I know he was at Miami, that they probably they didn't hold it back, I don't think, because they wanted to win those games, but it just couldn't be executed by a third-string quarterback. Is there a big edge for the Jets in that they got some wrinkles to expose or to unveil? Usually you don't see that in game 6. It may be the case this game. credit Colin.
Titans at the Broncos. Denver, a 1.5-point favorite.
To me, can Tennessee run? Mike Lombardi said that's the key question every time Tennessee plays. I think it's right. And Denver, great defense historically against the run this year in the high 20s against the run advanced analytics. That makes me lean towards Tennessee because when they can run, they're mighty good.
And on Sunday Night Football, the Chargers are a 7-point favorite, rather, hosting the Steelers.
Think about this. The Chargers against the winless Broncos last week. It was in L.A. What was the line?
4.5.
4.5. And now it's Pittsburgh 7. So they're saying Denver somehow is 2.5 points better than the Steelers. I know it's a third-string quarterback. Man, it feels like there's a lot of respect for a Charger team that's still really banged up, right?
Especially on the O-line. Their two best O-line members are out.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Life isn't always fair. As a Steelers fan, years of Landry Jones looming like a dark cloud ready to come up over the stadium. If you're a Steelers fan, you finally get rid of him. And then Paxton Lynch. Ugh. All right. Every Friday, everyone during the NFL season, we get Colin Cowherd's pick number 6 exclusively first. And today, for the second week in a row, he's picking the Monday night game. So we're going to give it to you, just his analysis. We're going to hold mine back because some would say it's timeless. And then on Monday, I'll decide if I like my analysis and either play it or act like we lost the tape and do it live. But right now, let's listen to Colin.
Let's go! Go.
No.
Hey, that's great football now!
It's Colin's.
Bonus pick only for RJ Bell.
Pick number 6.
Lions go on the road. They've won a couple of times there recently at Lambeau. They get 3.5. I like the number more when it was 4, 4.5. I would probably take the Lions here. I think Matt Patricia's got them playing good defense. Packers off a very dramatic win. National TV over Dallas. Do they pull back a little? Still don't know if Devontae Adams plays. I'd probably take Lions plus 3.5.
Okay, so Fez, on Wednesday you had your early best bet and line mover on Green Bay. Lines moved in the opposite direction. Now, that happens about 30% of the time. You're 70-30 when the line moves. That's amazingly good. But you said you'd be worried if the line didn't move by Friday. What are you thinking?
And it's Friday, and I have to have some concern. And let's face it, RJ, sometimes the market's going to disagree with your opinion. It's happening here. I still feel strong
about
it.
Yeah, I think, whoa. I think it's bigger, and we'll talk about it Monday. Here's why it's bigger. The line didn't make sense on Wednesday. Right? No one can understand. Have you heard a good analysis yet of it? You're asking everyone you know.
Yeah, no one can explain to me why Green Bay and Detroit are getting valued as equal teams.
Well, even 3.5, it'd be even the Detroit's better. I mean, because Green Bay does have that elite 4-point home field. So to me, when you see that strange line, I'm scared. I'm not greedy, I'm scared because I can't explain why the line's wrong. You said, I don't know, but I think it's going to move. Now that it hasn't moved, it's just not the market's against you. It's the fact that this weird line is actually moving like they know something we don't. And that's it. It doesn't matter how sharp any one person is. You can't know everything.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, it's time for a best bet from the voice of Vegas himself, RJ Bell.
All right, we've been hot. You would have thought I would have mentioned our another winner yesterday on our prop, but Jonas, it was weird. He grabbed the end of the show. Like somehow he didn't want me to have another winner. I had to scream it out. Luckily, the nation cashed. Let's go one more. I'm going with the Minnesota Vikings. Laying the 3. Get the 3. 3 is key. Why? I think Philadelphia looks better than they are. They had an amazing, impressive win against Green Bay a couple weeks ago. And that was the kind of game that if they do get to the Super Bowl, you're going to point to that game. Because I just heard this stat today. They've got 3 games on the road. This one, next one, next one. Philly does. all three against teams with a winning record. And it's one of those that hasn't happened in 30 years. So think if they had lost that Green Bay game. So why do I think they're a little overrated? Because they're so banged up in the secondary defending the pass. And the Vikings, you would say, well, can they pass? Well, we'll talk about that in a second. But what we know is the Jets with the third string quarterback cannot pass, could not pass. So, oh, look, Eagles look pretty good back there. Yeah, when you got the high school quarterback throwing. So to me, whenever you have a really banged up and weakened defensive secondary, which happens a decent amount, when you play a team or two in a row that can't pass at all, it looks like you are better. I don't think they are. Is there any reason to think the Eagles are somehow significantly better on pass defense, Fez?
No, they benefited from 10 sacks against the hapless Jets who just could not protect Falk and who had no pocket presence.
Agreed. Great way to say it. So I think Philly a little overrated, though purely healthy. I take Philly maybe over the Saints, and it's kind of funny. Neither of those teams right now, you could say, are the best in the NFC. I think healthy, they're the two best. Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that.
So this is more about the Eagles being banged up right now. On the other hand, you got Minnesota. Now, Brad, you had an amazing stat trend on Minnesota playing out of division at home.
Yeah, under Mike Zimmer, non-division, home favorite. The Vikings are 18-2 against the spread. A couple of pushes, too.
So I had Vegas on some stuff. Now I got 18-2 behind me. Last thing, we did the research here. McKenzie, a new guy at pregame, did most of it. And Kirk Cousins at 1 o'clock, and this is something that Jonas really woke us up to, over 60% against the spread. Other times in the 30s against the spread. Everything points to Minnesota. It's just one bet. It's going to win less than 60%. Be careful. Minnesota, best bet, -3.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.